Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Far too often, when I come to Luke 15, I see the little subtitles over verses 1 through 10, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, and I think, oh yeah, I know those, and I skip right over them to the parable of the prodigal son. I really love the parable of the prodigal son. You see, all three parables are Jesus' response to these grumbling Pharisees, but for today we only read the first two. The final parable in the trilogy we actually read a few Sundays back. So the focus for today's sermon is just the first two, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And I'm thankful because although I thought I knew these stories, these parables, there's a lot more to ponder than I remembered. So chapter 15 begins saying, "Now all of the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling." They were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Now, when you were growing up, if you had a sibling, I don't know if whenever they were getting into serious trouble, you sort of thought to yourself, "Phew, I'm glad I'm not them." But I found myself saying this week, "Phew, I am glad I am not the Pharisees or the scribes. Instead, I'd much rather be this little fluffy lost sheep that Jesus puts on his shoulders when he finds it. I'd even settle for being the lost coin. I just don't want to be like the Pharisees grumbling over who Jesus spends time with and grumbling over who Jesus loves and Jesus cares about." But I think that this parable about the grumbling Pharisees has the power to expose the resentment and jealousy, even the bitterness that we sometimes feel when we think that God is too good to others and not good enough to us. And so when the Pharisees grumbled and said, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," here is Jesus' response, offering us parables about two searchers, a shepherd and a diligent sweeper, who don't give up until they find what was lost. I think it's really, really interesting that in both of these parables, what is lost has absolutely no role in being found. I read this week that if a sheep is lost, instead of being able to bleat out in distress, it will often not do so because it is so afraid. Instead, it'll curl up and lie down in the wild brush to hide from its predators. It's so fearful that it secludes itself and it can do nothing to help in its own rescue. The full responsibility is on the shepherd. And then the coin, it's an inanimate object. It can't call out that it's lost. It can't shine brighter to call attention to itself. The coin's rescue is completely dependent upon the woman's diligence. So these two parables tell of a shepherd and a woman not giving up in their searches for what they had lost. And then when they found them, their joy could not be contained. They had to call others to themselves to help them celebrate that what had been lost had been found. The finding and then restoring what was lost brings great joy to God. Jesus seeks out the lost, those tax collectors and sinners who are despised. Jesus seeks out those who are on the fringes and the margins, those that others don't think are worthy enough to be invited into Jesus' presence, let alone his table to eat with him. Jesus seeks out those and searches for those who are able to do nothing to deserve his grace and mercy. Jesus seeks out and searches for those who are able to do nothing to deserve his grace and mercy. He seeks out those who we think don't belong, or those that we think that we don't want them to belong. Those are the ones that Jesus opens his arms to, and those are the people that Jesus eats with. And so these parables, they aren't about calling sinners to repent. Instead, it's calling the righteous, the Pharisees, the grumblers, to rejoice, to join this celebration, because Jesus welcomes and includes all who are excluded. All, regardless of who they are or what they've done or not done, all are welcomed and forgiven in Jesus' presence. And thanks be to God, because like Paul says in the reading from 1 Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We so often want to focus on the sins of others and why they don't deserve God's mercy and forgiveness or grace. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are the foremost. The fact that we have been found and welcomed and forgiven by God is a gift of mercy and grace that we did nothing to deserve. So when we want to complain or grumble about those who Jesus includes and those who he eats with, we need to give thanks that he finds us and includes us and eats with us. So these parables in Luke today call us to celebrate with God, because God has not only been merciful to us, but to others, especially those whom we might not accept or welcome into our fellowship. We are invited to join the celebration, and whether we do or not is important. Do we base relationships on merit and deservedness or mercy? Is our understanding of God's love based on merit or mercy? And do we want God to offer us mercy but base others on a merit system? Do we want to put limits on God's love and mercy? Because sadly, those who find God's mercy offensive cannot celebrate. The righteousness of the Pharisees had become a barrier, separating them from the religious and social outcasts. And because of that, they were missing out on the celebration of the coming kingdom that was already taking place in their midst. C.S. Lewis once wrote that joy is the serious business of heaven. Not once, not twice, but five times today's text speaks about joy and rejoicing. God and the angels in heaven rejoice at the finding of just one sinner, one outcast, one person on the margins. God is still seeking and diligently searching for the lost, and God is finding them, because God's mercy knows no bounds, no limits. God rejoices when those who were lost are found, and the angels in heaven rejoice too. brothers and sisters, the celebration continues, and God wants and invites us to join in. In just a few minutes, we are going to be invited to Jesus' table to eat with him and to feast upon his presence. We are going to be welcome to have a foretaste of the feast to come, which will be a celebration full of magnificence that we cannot even begin to imagine. All are invited and welcomed to Jesus' table, where all of us receive undeserved grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love. Brothers and sisters, come and celebrate God's goodness and mercy for us and for all people. Amen.